hat, just strapping my backpack. Shorty, you eat it like cash stack. Back out the blicky, go crazy like spinning the blinkies in black flag. Gun in my mirror's been itching.
Yes, sir, it's your boy, Big Vern. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. You heard?
Matt Ullery weaves multiple global influences into the music of his Loom Sextet, and we'll hear a cinematic piece on the next Deep Threes. Plus tracks from Springheel Jack, Adam Beyer, and CJ Boland. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Art Omai, a sculpture and architecture park and international residency center in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dusk until dawn. Art Omai presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of FET Press in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a graduate of Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda, and I'm 18, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm 6 years old. I'm Patina, and I'm 6 years old, and I'm from first grade in Hudson as well.
I'm Lena, and I go to school at NC Smith.
I'm Fahim. I'm 15, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things. And we're usually joined by our friend AJ as well, who's not here today. So who wants to get started talking about something they've been reading lately or something they're excited to read or something related?
I can start.
Okay.
I started reading today, as I was so Refugee by Ellen Grad, and you know, so far I love the novel. And so it's basically like about three people that their story plays in different time period and different region of the world. And Ellen Grad does a really good job showing like how their story is similar. Like they're all three of them are facing like violence and cruelty, inequality in their like homeland, their country, and how they're like forced to, you know, because in order to keep themselves safe or they're gonna get killed, to live their country and search for like better life and equality and freedom. And like as I was reading the chapter, they change the people, like character. So one chapter would be based on Ashley, who's, I don't know if I'm saying the character's name right. She is a Cuban girl, and she is forced to leave her homeland because of communism and cruelty there. And also because of the starvation too, because, like, you know, Cuba used to have a lot of support. Like, you know, Soviet Union used to, like, buy the sugar cane. Like, they used to give, like, 11 times more money to Cuba. But since, like, when Soviet Union failed, they, you know, Cuba doesn't have that support, and they don't have the money to switch the sugarcane factory to a food factory. And because Russia, like, they used to get their gasoline from Russia, and because they don't have that support either, they don't have the gas to run the tractor. They're starving constantly, and, like, you know, they have slaughtered all the farm animals they had, and then people are, like, those people are going to the zoo animals and eating them, basically. And, you know, how she tells the story, how she's hiding her cat because her, she has a kitten and she doesn't want the neighbors to come and eat her kitten. So, and then there's a story about Mahmoud. He's a Syrian boy, and, you know, how he is forced to leave his homeland because of the violence and because of inequality between Shia and Sunni. And the story of Joseph, who is a Jewish boy, and he in Germany, like, in, you know, his father escaped, like, from the concentration camp because Hitler's army took him, and, you know, how he came, and he, you know, like, give you the second chance. And then now, like, so far I'm being, now the father came in, he looks like a skeleton, like, he hasn't eaten for months, and, like, now, like, they're running, and they entered, like, the shed where they don't see any swastika or any uniform, and they're treated as equal. So I'm excited to see and eager to, like, know what happens next, but hopefully they're safe.
Sounds like a really interesting book. I like how it switches from characters and timelines and countries,
and I'm
but
sorry.
Like, has a shared theme.
And I have something to tell you, like, it's a book.
What's your book?
My book is about rainbows of sun. So for the beginning, starts like this. So it is, like, so cool.
What's it about?
Yeah. That superpowers.
And then how you got it.
And then how I got it.
You have superpowers?
Because I do.
Whoa. What is your superpower?
My reading, I can read people's mind and teleport and fly and be visible.
And what?
And be visible. That's true.
And invisible. She's saying she can be invisible.
Oh.
Yeah.
But only downstairs.
Can you read my mind right now?
Okay, so you have to think about something.
I am. I'm thinking.
You're thinking about a bicycle.
How did you know?
I don't know that I can find it.
Wow.
Tell her, how did you get your superpower?
Do you want to know how I got my superpowers? By eating vegetables and fruits.
Oh, I eat a lot of vegetables and fruits, but I have not developed any superpowers. You must have had the right combination.
Yeah.
What's your favorite fruit and your favorite vegetable?
Okay, so my favorite fruit is all the fruits and also vegetables.
Oh, okay. I guess it must be pretty easy to get you to eat your fruits and vegetables then.
No, it's not easy.
No.
I think the story that she's going to eat, she's going to become a superhero if she eats them. Makes her cool.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my parents convinced me that tofu was tofu, and that as a ballerina it would be very good for my dancing skills. But it, and I actually love tofu now, but as a kid, at least the way that my mom prepared it that time, I remember being like, this is disgusting, it's not worth it, I don't care how much I want to be a ballerina, not eating that again. But now I love tofu. I'll eat it every day if I need to, but I don't need to. So how about Amelia, do you have a book to share with us?
I have several that kind of share a theme. I've got a big stack. One, I've got this, The Great Gatsby, as a graphic novel.
Whee!
I'm so happy. It's really pretty. Everyone here, I think, knows that I love The Great Gatsby. and this was really cool. It has this really pretty, like, watercolor art almost. It looks like it's been done in watercolor, and it's so pretty. It's, like, gorgeous. I haven't even really read it yet. I've just kind of flipped through it, admiring the art, and it's really pretty. And that got me thinking about, like, other classic novels. And when I was younger, I somehow managed to, like, gather up this big collection of classic novels rewritten as comics and manga. I have Pride and Prejudice, I have Emma, I have The Scarlet Letter, and I was gonna pull it out, but for some reason this particular copy was falling apart when I bought it, and I don't want to pull it out again in case, to keep it like from getting any more damage. And I also have Les Mis, and there's also the comic of The Handmaid's Tale, but I can't find it right now. I'm not sure where it went, but I just thought that was an interesting thing to share, that like apparently rewriting classics as comics is a very common thing.
Yeah, I haven't read many of them, but I remember reading, there was a comic adaptation of The Lottery, the short story by Shirley Jackson.
Oh.
And I read that after I read the short story. And then there's a couple recently that have been made based on Octavia Butler's books, which I love. And I'm curious about reading those, but I haven't tried them yet. And I saw there was a Handmaid's Tale, and I remember you talking about it on the radio show.
It was really, it was really good.
Yeah.
The comic was very pretty.
I'm curious for Les Mis how long it was, because that's a really big book.
It's not as thick as all the other ones. They're all pretty thick. And that one was about the same size. I would check, but like I said, it's falling apart for some reason. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I guess that one copy I bought was just cursed, because when I opened it, like, it was very obviously, like, giving away at the spine. I don't know what was wrong with it. And I, read it just long enough to finish it, and then I put it away and decided I'm not touching it again.
It's just going to live on your shelf forever.
Yeah.
That's fun. Seems like a fun way to read some of those classic stories. Either if you've already read them and want to reread it, or if you're not sure if you're ready to dive in and just want to get a peek at the story.
Classic comics I have, I've only read the actual books for them, with The Great Gatsby and The Handmaid's Tale. I never read The Scarlet Letter, I've never read Emma, and I've never read Pride and Prejudice, but it was my favorite thing to read in this comic, and I really didn't want to like it because it was very... It's a Jane Austen book. It was very Jane Austen, all about, like, they remind me of rom-coms, like modern rom-coms, but if they were written then. And everything in me wanted to not like it, but I ended up, like, loving it, despite how just romantic it was. I didn't want to like it. I didn't want to like it, but I actually ended up loving it.
Yeah, I think a lot of Jane Austen stories are sort of turned into rom-coms.
Yeah.
Both in American film and in some world cinema. I know I've seen some Bollywood films based on those novels.
I've seen Sense and Sensibility as a manga too, and I kept not buying it because I kept forgetting that I didn't have it. I was actually mistaking it for Emma because I thought that one was Sense and Sensibility, but it wasn't. And I never got through Emma because there's a bookmark here. And I don't remember the last time I picked this book up, but I know it was years ago. And I guess I got halfway through it and then stopped reading it. And now I need to start reading it again because I can't remember what's actually happening in the book. But so, they're all under one brand called Manga Classics. But there's obviously a different artist illustrating each book, which I think is cool.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yay. So, Lena, do you have anything you want to share today?
Yes. I'm very excited because we're getting the Urban Legends for 50 States. Yeah. I can't remember what the name is.
Hold on. I have the book. I know what the name of it is. I'm going to get it.
Amelia's very excited.
Yay. Also, I'm going to buy into my brother's book of Maximum Ride.
Ah.
I have a comic of Maximum Ride, too, and I've never read it. But it's the Scary States of America, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. This book has been beat up. It's awful, but I've read it so much that it's just in such bad condition. But I loved it. I loved these books. Hold on, I'm going to try and find the story for New York. Can't remember what it was.
I'm very excited because it's actually kind of similar to one of my favorite books called Grimm's Fairy Tales. And one of my favorite stories in there is called Clever Hans. And the funny thing about it is that Clever Hans is actually not very clever, and he tries to follow his mother's advice, even though the advice was given at the wrong time, like too late.
Yay. That seems like a fun book. I wonder if there were certain states where there were tons of stories that they had to choose from, and then if there were any states where they had to really search hard to find one that was good. Like, I wonder what state has the most scary stories or legends.
Yeah.
My favorite, I have no idea.
My favorite story in this book was the one from Montana about the cows.
What happens with the cows?
There's apparently like a trend of like alien abduction among like cattle, where the cattle like disappear and then they return like with like weird injuries that couldn't have possibly done by anything human. And like, it seemed like horrifically gory to me when I first read this book, but now it's kind of just eh, but it's like, I still love the Montana story. It's my favorite one.
Oh. Well, I hope you enjoy it, Lena, and have fun.
Yeah, I'm excited because me and my brother are going to read it.
Oh, that'll be fun to read it together. You can compare notes and favorites.
Yeah, but like, the funny thing about it is that we're going to read it when I go to sleep, because like, he reads me the Grimm's fairy tales, which are supposed to scare children, but into behaving, so I'm pretty sure that won't scare me.
So it hasn't worked yet? You haven't started behaving?
Who told you that?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, Grimm's fairy tales are bizarre when you read the originals sometimes.
They're so strange.
There's one called Donkey Cabbages that I highly suggest.
It might be check in the book, because there are about, like, I'm pretty sure 100-something stories.
Mm-hmm, probably is.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to let us know what your favorite is when it's all done.
I will.
Thank you. So, is Fahim still there? And what, do you have a book to talk about?
Yeah. My book is called The Running Back, True Story from the Wheelchair to the NFL. It's by Leroy Collins. He's a former NFL player and currently a motivational speaker. The book is about a young Leroy Collins, like, growing up. And, like, this book basically started from how a U-Haul, like, him and his brother, so, like, in the beginning of the book, Leroy Collins and his brother, they were, like, playing around with everyone else, like, the friends, like, the parkway and everything. It was, like, in the middle of the road. And then, like, in the middle of the road, Leroy's brother goes in the middle of the road, and, like, there's, like, U-Haul truck, and, like, a driver was just, like, driving the U-Haul truck, like, very speed, like, over the speed limit, and then it just hits his brother, and his brother goes, like, kind of, like, flying and goes somewhere else, and then Leroy tries to save him, but then he's in the middle of the road, and the U-Haul truck doesn't stop, and then it just hits him, and, like, the front tire and the back tire, like, just runs over his head. I think it was chest. Yeah, his head is in his chest. So, like, pretty severe, like, brain injury. So he had to be, like, in a wheelchair for, like I think months and months, for, like, and had to take, like, surgery in his brain and his chest, like basically, like, his upper body. And then after that, he had to heal up. And then his dad had, like, very, like, problems in Hudson that he wanted to move to Florida. So they had to move from Hudson to Florida. And then, like, but, like, his dad had an addiction and, like, all these other social problems. So they couldn't stay in Florida. So Leroy Collins and his family, like, decided to move back to Hudson, except for his dad. His dad still stays in Florida. And then he and his journey for, like, the football team started. He started, like, for the JV team, and then moved up to, like, the varsity in 8th grade. And then from there on, like, his whole NFL story started. Like, I'm not gonna spoil too much. And then, like, just like, soon he got drafted. That's all. Yeah, I mean, he didn't get drafted. He got into a free agency. But, yeah, cool.
Yeah, that sounds like I've heard that's a very inspirational story.
Yeah.
I haven't read it myself yet, but husband did. And thought it was very inspiring, yeah. And that people should read it, especially since Leroy's from Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I say, like, the back of the book, like, the motivational quote from him?
Sure.
We are going to face many challenges in life. We are going to want to give up. Life is going to take us in many different directions. Focus on your dream and your vision, regardless of what stands in your way or what direction you might be dragged or pulled. Your drive and your fate will put you back on course in the direction of your destiny. My life has taken many turns. I was in situations where I never thought I'd But I set a goal and discovered the power of dreaming. And those dreams spoke to me. My dreams told me to get up and walk. My dreams told me to run fast. My dreams told me to give it a try. My dreams told me not to settle. So overcome most of life's struggles and setbacks. Set a goal. Start listening to your dreams and never give up. So basically talks about, like, how his religion, like Christianity, affected him into, like, believing that he doesn't have to give up and stuff. Like, how religion affected him. And, like, plays running back. And basically, like, has to move his legs and stuff. Like, he has to make sure that he's, like, on point and he knows what to do. As in his position.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. I also have a nonfiction book to share. I recently, for the Hudson Area Library Nonfiction Book Club, read The Hidden Life of Trees, What They Feel, How They Communicate, Discoveries from a Secret World by Peter Wohlleben. And I think this book would be appropriate for teens. And I think some tweens would like it too. But I'll read the description for it. It says, "Are trees social beings? Forester and author Peter Wohlleben convincingly makes the case that yes, the forest is a social network. He draws on groundbreaking scientific discoveries to describe how trees are like human families. Tree parents live together with their children, communicate with them, support them as they grow, share nutrients with those who are sick or struggling, and even warn each other of impending dangers. Wohlleben also shares his deep love of woods and forests, explaining the amazing processes of life, death, and regeneration he has observed in his woodland. After you have read Wohlleben's book, A Walk in the Woods will never be the same again." It's just sort of a fascinating book about trees, which I think we don't often think about too much. They're just kind of there. Like, you go in the woods and they are beautiful. And maybe you're like, wow, that's a big tree, or wow, that tree's growing in an interesting way. But there's some fascinating stories and sort of anecdotes in here. Also, there's an illustrated version. So this version has like little sort of line drawings at the start of each chapter that are really pretty. There's also an illustrated edition, which is not the same text exactly, but has really beautiful photographs in it. And then there's also a kid's version called Can You Hear the Trees Talking? Discovering the Hidden Life of the Forest, which sounds really fun. And, you know, it's geared towards kids, so that could be interesting to some of our listeners. Let's see some of the questions he writes in the description. Did you know that trees have parents and tree grandparents with wrinkles? That tree kids go to school for hundreds of years? That there is such a thing as the forest internet? And that trees make us healthy and strong? Sometimes even trees get sick, but we can help heal them. Can You Hear the Trees Talking? Shares the mysteries and magic of the forest in language kids will love and understand. And it's got like quizzes and photographs and hands-on activities in the kids' version. But some of the ones that stood out to me in my memory, there's one about, I think it's acacia trees in Africa. Their leaves would be eaten by giraffes. And if they were eaten too much, then the tree would die. And so the tree's able to tell that it's at risk and starts releasing toxins that make the giraffe not want to eat it anymore. And then it somehow communicates to other trees nearby to start releasing the toxin as well. So then the giraffe has to go farther away to find a tree to eat. So they have these interesting ways of communicating with each other. Some of them involve fungi. And there's also a story that I had heard a small version of before around wolves in Yellowstone National Park, where when the wolves came back to Yellowstone and they were reintroduced into the area, it helps the ecosystem sort of thrive and get back to normal. But so one of the ways it did that was the wolves were the predator for elk. But when the wolves were gone, the elk went wild and ate all these trees. And so then there weren't trees growing, and the beavers had no trees to have fun with and dam up the area. So once the wolves came back, then the elk were less abundant in the area or had to spread out more for their food. And so then the tree growth came back, and then the beavers came back. And so you can see how this would go on and how there's a chain and how everything's connected. I found it very interesting. I'm curious to check out the kids' version and the illustrated version, because I do love some pictures. And I think I was listening to this on audio, and the narrator had a British accent, and it reminded me of the Attenborough narration on Planet Earth and other nature series. And so it made me want to have these visuals just by having that voice on there. So I'm hoping to find some more visual versions of this information to explore. But yeah, so that was my most recent read, aside from some picture books.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds like a really good book, and it's about trees, because like I haven't really read any book that's about trees, and it's like those like has the vibe that the environment is friendly.
He's an interesting guy too, because he worked for over 20 years in the Forestry Commission in Germany, and then he left that industry to sort of put what he had learned about trees into practice. So now, instead of cutting down trees using large machines and having to constantly rebuild the forest to make money off of the land, now what he does is he sells sort of trees that people can use as a place where they will leave the ashes of their loved ones when their loved ones pass away and have a place to go visit in the woods. And so he preserves the trees while also, you know, preserving space for people to enjoy nature and be with their loved ones and the memories of their loved ones. So it's an interesting change in use of forest. So We're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time and fun experiences, and that everyone stays cool in the summer heat. And yeah, have a good week. Happy reading.
Into the void of space, we shine a light, a flickering force, moving at eternal pace on an infinite voyage. Explore the magic. We are never too old for new worlds to align. Life is not a race, but a moment to embrace the journey.
Like to be a force of faith.